All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hi, everybody. It's Mike Kerr from Hear the Watchman, and I want to thank you guys for joining us today for the first of a series of Warrior Priest Roundtables. And we are going to be talking about some of the top topics that we believe that the body of Christ needs to hear about and real world topics today. Our host, so to speak, or moderator, is Doug Thornton from the American Vindicta Show. Doug has been kind enough to work with Hear the Watchman to try and bring these events to you. So I'm going to turn it over at this point to Doug. Doug, take it away.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching. We have on with us a great panel today. We're going to be going over four main questions that we believe are pertinent within the Christian realm, and it's a conversation that needs to be had more, needs to have more open dialogue. And because of that, we've invited Jamie Walden, Bob Griswold, Derek Gilbert, and Dave Hodges. We intend on having these more often and to bring more experts in. And hopefully we can all be blessed by this conversation. Now, here's the four main speaking points that we're going to go over. We're going to talk about the Antichrist infrastructure. We're going to talk about the alien opponent. Is the non-human entity discussed by the current UFO UAP Congressional Committee a real physical threat from an off-world race of beings, or is it a grand satanic deception, or is it both? We're going to then talk about nation rising against nation and kingdom versus kingdom in the next world wars. And we're going to talk about the sin nature of America and how she has fallen so low. Gentlemen, thank you very much for agreeing to be on with us today. I greatly look forward to this conversation, and I would like to start off by reading the first question. The Antichrist infrastructure. When I think about the Antichrist infrastructure, the way I view it is before the Antichrist can come on scene, there has to be a certain level of technological prowess throughout the world, a certain level of technology that has to be produced that every man and woman has access to, from the highest population of the Alps to the lowest population of the Amazon jungle. Everyone eventually will have to be able to see and bear witness to the Antichrist. I think with the use of things like Elon Musk's Starlink, the new cell phone ranges that we have, the fiber optics that are being stretched from all around the world, the way I view it, and I actually talked to a guy who's a good friend of mine, and his job is telecommunications, and he was the one who really pinned this question on me, because he said, Doug, the government has just issued $6 billion, the U.S. government, $6 billion to telecommunications companies to connect every single part of America to high-speed broadband internet. And immediately, him and I both discussed the fact that if we're getting that close, then prophecies being fulfilled, the Antichrist infrastructure is being completed here in America. I wonder how close it is in other parts of the world. So let's open this up to a conversation with everyone. Jamie, I want to start off with you. The Antichrist infrastructure, where do you think we're at with it?
Yeah, no, thanks for hosting this, Doug and Mike, this awesome opportunity. Obviously, all you guys are dear brothers. You know, we get to speak in person sometimes together and fellowship together and cross-pollinate. So it's cool that we get to be talking about these prescient issues, because they are very prescient. You know, I kind of use the same language all the time when I'm on different shows about this convergent zenith, right? And our corporeal reality of all these different layers of the beast system infrastructure. And it's actually a very important question that you ask, and it's probably the central theme of all the bigger macro, right? All these other all these other things, even today in today's form that you have listed out, whether it's the alien question, right, or the impending World War III, and then also the total cultural and really humanity-based degradation all over the face of the earth. It's actually all rooted in and umbrellaed over by this higher macro perspective, which is the Antichrist beast system infrastructure. And so when I look at it empirically, I'll just give a quick anecdote. When I understood the connectivity of all the things that I've been studying about eschatology, end times prophecy, the different rabbit holes that we can go down as far as the hidden history, the cover up and cover over history, as Steve Quayle likes to say, around the face of the earth, even antediluvian pre-flood stuff, the etymology of words, which Derek has done so much seminal work on, is this reality that in 2014 I was in the trenches with Peshmerga, taking the fight to ISIS on behalf of our Christian brothers and sisters. So I come in body armored up, buy AKs out of the trunk of a car. One of the most poor decisions I've ever made in my life was buying AKs out of the trunk of a car from a bunch of Muslims, right? And go to the front lines and get down in the trenches with the Peshmerga. And you got the black ISIS flags waving across the desert. Mortars are dropping in. And I'm kind of sitting in the trench just getting to know these guys, right? These different Peshmergas, which have the heart of a lion when it comes to fighting. And all of them, all very definitive language, had an iPhone in their hand in the trenches in outside of Mosul, Iraq, looking at American pornography singularly in Instagram and Facebook and these other things. And they're laughing. You're sitting down in the trench, you're safe, right? You know what it's like, Doug, being in the Marines. Everybody's just jackassing around the whole time, like normal guys in the military. And they're like handing phones back and forth to you, back and forth to each other. And I talked to my interpreter. I said, "Hey, ask those guys, where are they all getting iPhones from? We're literally, and where are they getting service?" That was the big thing. I'm like, we're in the middle of no man's land in a war zone, and these guys have full service to look at whatever they want to look at. And of course, it was all via American tech companies and American tech as far as the phone provider itself. And he asked them, and the guy said, "Oh, the government gives them out. They make sure that every single citizen has an iPhone in their hand, and all the services are paid for. We don't have to pay for the services." And I'm like, "Well, where's your signal coming from?" They're like, "I don't know. It's just always here. Like, we don't know. It just the phones work, and then we all do our little American apps and look at our American filth, Mystery Babylon. I know we'll get to that later." And so, anyways, without getting too anecdotal, that's when I realized that the infrastructure for the B system was done. It's not a future tense. It's done. So this doesn't even take into account the algorithmic processes of the B-wave quantum computing, or let's say the threat fusion centers across the United States, of which I believe last known there was seven. You have the surface and subsurface, data collection sites that are floating around the face of the earth, not to mention even some off-earth based data collection centers. And so what they've done as far as infrastructure base is they have actually, through the technology in the guise of the fallen ones, I won't get into the mystery school stuff right now, but they have created counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence through technology. They have counterfeited, they have become like God, not as God, but like God through technological processes to actually have a counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence. And when I first began studying eschatology, my number one hangup, which is so funny of all things that now is being answered in real time, is when I would read through all the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and kind of try to wrap my mind around how all this works, with the end times eschatology or dispensation, depending on how people lean. As I was like, in my childlike 25-year-old faith was like, would the Antichrist even know if you gave allegiance to him or not? How would he know? You can just lie. You can just fake it. Like, you can get around it and not be beheaded by the message of the cross. How would he know? Well, fast forward 15 years, we would know. They would know. They know exactly through their predictive modeling and their programming what you're going to do, what you're going to say, what you're going to do, whatever. And even I believe the latest stat from the DoD and other different intelligence apparatus and even geopolitical diplomacy based apparatus is that they were saying that at this point, 70%+ of all decisions on the face of the earth are made by computers. Humans are no longer adding their input. They carry it out to a limited degree. They have some kind of input into the algorithms, but basically, we're at a point now where the governmental chills on the face of the earth are allowing AI computers to make all decisions because of the amount of metadata that's flowing through it, through anything from your smart TVs to all the social media apps to, all the other different facial recognition, biometric, kind of Chinese sort of control mechanisms that are now over the face of the earth. And again, most people aren't aware that the Chinese social credit score that was rolled out in China was actually implemented by the US tech companies as a beta test, knowing that they had to perfect the kinks in the algorithms in China under totalitarian regime before they could bring it to America, which has a slightly more significant aversion to government overreach, right? Just the American manifest destiny cowboy, screw you kind of mentality that Americans have. They knew that they needed to perfect the algorithms in China in a totalitarian regime before they loosed them in America. But what most Americans don't know is they already did it. You just don't know it. They already did it. There is a threat dossier on every single American citizen based on your digital footprint. So infrastructure, the B system, I won't even touch on CERN. I won't touch on the directed energy weapon stuff and the ELF, extremely low frequency, and they're jacking around in the different quantum realms with quantum physics and quantum computing and stuff like that. That's usually so far outside of most people's ability to understand. But when you start stacking these layers in, the infrastructure for the B system, even religiously, economically, and technologically, the Noah Hyde laws and the United Nations and all these other things, and the rise of NAR through Bethel and Hillsong, which is connected to preterism and all these different things, which is connected to the UN, which is connected to the Great Deception, like all the infrastructure from the Vatican to the space agencies to the local governments to the co tech companies to the World Economic Forums and the bastards in Basel, right, as people like to coin them, with the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, it is all in play on the table, not theoretical. But it is actually the kinks have been worked out, and now it's all synergistic. So it's a done deal in my book.
Well, I think you just said what everyone else was going to say. Thank you, Jamie. Hey, Jamie, you're right. I think the better half of the Antichrist infrastructure is in place and in play. I think still there's a few things that they have to add to it for total spectrum dominance. And maybe we can get Bob to fill us in on this. Bob, what is your view on the Antichrist infrastructure?
Well, I think a lot of times Americans don't understand how slowly the system has been built around them. I've been in this prepper movement or this movement for a very long time. And I remember when Y2K happened, everybody thought it was a big nothing burger. But to me, if you remember what they did at that time, they synced every computer on the planet to a certain specification. At that time, before that, computers had, they weren't networked. Australia might not have been networked. United States was not networked. South America. At that time, the process began of networking and was largely completed at that time. So that was what, 30 years ago, 30 some years ago, that we saw this movement towards wiring the whole planet together. And I totally agree with my brother Jamie. I think there's just a crisis step away from being able to implement it. Let me give you a case in point. Okay, we see the Great Reset being planned out right in front of our face. So where if you're controlling people's money, you're controlling every aspect about them. If you're controlling their access to capital, access to energy, access to food, access to whatever it is, you are in that position of having the Antichrist system of the mark of the beast, where you can either buy nor sell. And so, let's just hypothesize for a second. So here we have a monetary crisis that the world is coming upon. Everybody's admitting it. Let me ask you a question. When that monetary crisis presents itself, looking what happened to COVID now, what did you call it? The supplement mentality. You look what happened there. How many people took those supplements because they believed in them? Or how many people took those supplements because one reason or another they were forced into it, either peer pressure, economic pressure, job pressure, family pressure, whatever, they were pressured into doing that. So let's just say there's an economic collapse, which I think the, you know, we see coming, it's right on the horizon. We see the dollar and the currencies throughout the world failing, fiat currencies failing. So it happens. And then all of a sudden, how quickly could this be implemented? Well, we can't give you paper money back, but we can give you digital dollars back. How many people would go for that? Nothing or some digital dollars? You know, I think you're going to see the world jump at that. And I think that that structure, I agree with Jamie, is completely built right now to be able to do it. It's all invasive. I mean, throughout the world, you go to a computer and you type something in, that's following you. You cannot escape your footprint right now. And nobody does. We think of some of the remotest places on Earth. You always see them with cell phones. They have the cell phones there. So the whole world is under this spy agency of called your cell phone that you cannot escape from it. And so does that mean every single human being on the planet, there might be some, but basically you have every person on the planet right now in some way has a digital footprint. So you create the ultimate crisis, a medical crisis or economic crisis, and that antichrist system, I think, could be implemented almost overnight. And I think because of different pressures people have, I've got to make my mortgage payment, I need food, I need this, I need that, I'm going to take this, I'm going to go along with this digital dollar. And once you control the money, you will have control over every aspect of everyone's life. That's my take on it. And it is in place right now to do that.
Yeah, we're one major catastrophe or terrorism attack away from that being implemented.
Yeah, a financial crisis away. That's all we are, is a financial crisis away. And then every human being on the planet, you can't have paper money back. You have to have a digital footprint, digital currency, and everyone will go for that. And once they have that in their possession, they can control every aspect of your life. And that's what the Antichrist system does. That you can't buy or sell, you can't do anything unless you have the approval of that Antichrist system. And I think right now it's obviously in place.
Yeah, I think the key thing to what you're saying is that there's no workaround. There's no cheating around it. You will be subjected to it.
Well, there's always a barter system. You know, the Soviet economy during the height of the Soviet Union was kept moving because of a barter system. People didn't trust the Soviet money. So, I mean, I had friends that were merchant marines. They would take blue jeans or Marlboro cigarettes or whatever, and they would go, and people in Russia would want that. So it was basically a barter. So there'll be that system. And I think God will use that for his people to be at a barter in exchange. But again, under penalty of death, if you get caught doing it. But right now, as we saw with the supplement program, there were very, very few people who said no. The majority of everyone just went along with it. And the more people that go along with it, the more pressure will be there for everyone to go along with it. And so I think, you know, we've been herded in to a death factory that very few will escape from.
Derek, what is your take on it? You are probably one of the foremost leading experts that I listen to on Revelation. And you've expounded upon this for quite some time with your Revelation Fridays. The Antichrist infrastructure, what do you think of it?
Well, Doug, thank you for hosting this program, and thank you for including me in this panel, because I have the greatest respect for the work of Bob, for Jamie, and the way he has been totally committed to this. Dave Hodge is one of the most intelligent and insightful interviewers and analysts of what's going on around us. So to be included in this panel, I consider a great honor. This is something Sharon and I have been watching for a long time. When Edward Snowden came out in 2013 with his revelations about the NSA spying programs and how technology, the big tech companies have been co-opted by the NSA, And we're talking about the biggest tech companies, you know, Apple, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, how they had all been rolled, Yahoo had all been rolled into this program in 2013. The world kind of gasped, like, oh my goodness, how could this be? Sharon and I were talking about this on our PID radio podcast in April of 2006, when it was revealed that an AT&T data center in San Francisco was forwarding literally all of the internet traffic in the United States to the NSA, the National Security Agency. So this was not a new thing to us. I gave a presentation in 2010 called Facebook and Antichrist, and how the earliest investors in some of these big tech social media sites included people who had long and deep connections to the intelligence community. You can just imagine the veterans inside the CIA and NSA just smacking themselves on the forehead when they saw how willing people were to give up private information on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and all of these other social media sites, things that they could not legally have obtained. We were now willing to give up voluntarily through social media. And then AT&T, back in 2006, was reportedly sending all of that information to the National Security Agency. We talked about the Utah data center that was being built by the NSA, another center in Texas that was supposed to hold all of this information. The fact is, the internet generates so much data, just an inconceivable quantity of data, personal information, that the NSA's data centers were outdated before they were even brought online. It's like a guy with a fire hose trying to get a drink of water. There was so much coming in. And in fact, this was reported in the wake of what happened on 9/11, that there was so much data that was coming in to our intelligence agencies, they couldn't sift out what was useful from all of the chaff. But it will be useful, especially if you consider that this information might be used by a principality, power, or cosmic ruler over this present darkness. We're looking at the true enemy here, which we need to keep in mind at all times. It is not the human opponents. That's what Paul meant in Ephesians 6:12. We're not wrestling against human opponents, but against these supernatural entities, agents of evil, who want to destroy us and everything that we love, everything that God created and called good. So yeah, the technology is there, and they've only been building it since 2006. The Intercept, which is the online news organization founded by Glenn Greenwald, who then got pushed out because he wasn't woke enough. But The Intercept does do some good investigative journalism. In 2018 and 2019, they revealed that the AT&T data center in San Francisco was actually just one node in a group of eight being tapped by the National Security Agency to track all of our internet connections. Sharon and I, in fact, just talked about one of them this morning that was written about a few years ago. It's an interesting address in Lower Manhattan, 33 Thomas Street, 33, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It's a 40-story windowless high-rise that apparently was built to serve as a self-sustaining city that could keep 1,500 people or so alive for a couple of weeks in the event of a disaster. What's in that building? Well, it's reportedly still owned by AT&T. It was built in 1974. According to The Intercept, it appears to be a spy center for the National Security Agency, codenamed Titan Point. Now, that's also a very interesting name, because if you followed our work for any length of time, you know that we believe the Titans of Greek mythology are the same entities that the Hebrews called the Watchers of Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God who rebelled against their authority, the authority of God, in Genesis chapter 6, and who now, according to Peter and Jude, are in chains in the bottomless pit. And they don't get out until Revelation chapter 9, when that abyss is opened up. So the NSA, using a site in New York City called Titan Point, seven other cities across the country, to literally wiretap the entire country of all internet traffic in and out. So the infrastructure is there for the kind of control system that the beast will need. Now, to build on what Bob said, yes, I believe that digital currency is the method they will use to control us. Did a program a couple of years ago with our friend Guy Malone, who's been hosting Bible UFO conferences in Roswell, New Mexico for years. He is now a copy editor for Bitcoin Magazine, so he knows a little bit about digital currency. And his presentation for a virtual conference a couple of years ago was titled, Is Bitcoin the Mark of the Beast? And his thesis is, no, it is not, because it's a decentralized system. Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies like it are decentralized so that there is no single corporation or government entity that controls that currency. But that's exactly why central banks are trying to develop their own central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, China's central bank. Central banks worldwide, more than 50, are either considering or now doing a trial run for central bank digital currencies, and a few have launched these CBDCs. When you have a central bank-controlled digital currency, you no longer have any kind of financial privacy. And what's more, that currency, being a digital medium of exchange, can be programmed to allow or disallow transactions according to what the government desires. And this can be paired with the Chinese-style social credit score that Jamie talked about, to make it very difficult or impossible for you to buy or sell, which is exactly what the Mark of the Beast is all about. A central bank digital currency could be programmed to prevent you from using your money outside a certain allowable geographic area. This could be used to keep you inside your 15-minute city, according to the World Economic Forum's plans for the Great Reset. It could be allowed to, there could be programmed to disallow purchases of forbidden items like Bibles or certain types of foodstuffs or supplements or what have you. So, I think this is what we're looking at. The electronic infrastructure is there. The surveillance mechanism is, if it's not there, it's very close. And the development of central bank digital currency will be the final piece of this puzzle in developing the Mark of the Beast.
CBDC, one ring to rule them all. Yep. So what you're talking about.
Hey, Doug, and if I can speak to that real quick, I just want to add one quick thing. I don't want to hijack anything. You guys yell at me, you know I fire hose. But, when the cryptocurrency world first broke out, I wasn't interested in the cryptocurrency. I was interested in what undergirds the cryptocurrency. How does it work? And so what Derek's elucidating on is the blockchain technology. As soon as, and I would challenge any listener who would see this, is do a deep dive on blockchain. It's not the cryptocurrency that has the power. The blockchain to me is the singularity of the B system. The entirety of the B system, from the religious to the economic to the social and everywhere in between, all the governmental controls will all be ran through blockchain. And what broke open the Pandora's box for me on that was when I dug into Ethereum. Because Ethereum figured out how to use blockchain, not just for financial transactions, but as a means of, we'll say, like nanotech tagging every piece of data on the face of the earth all at one time. That's blockchain technology. It creates blocks of chains of all the things. So you could even nanotech block a leaf on a piece of lettuce and know every single degree from seed to the table to the ingestion to the internal biorhythms of the person who ate it and be tracked by that blockchain by the way that it's tagged. So that's why the cryptocurrencies are secondary. It's the technology that undergirds cryptocurrencies that these central planners of the world are going to use. And I believe that that is the fullness of, verses in Daniel and elsewhere about the great increase in knowledge and of the counterfeit omniscience, again, and omnipresence of the entire B system is based on that blockchain. That's just a little caveat.
Thank you, Jamie. And thank you, Derek, for that explanation. You were referencing something called geofencing. Now, Dave Hodges has been talking about 15-minute cities that are sporadically opening up all across America now, along with the central bank digital currency. And before I go to Dave, I want to ask you this. Derek, do you see the 15-minute city being a geofence location that your phone would actually tell on you when you go across the perimeter of your now area of living? Is that what you're seeing?
Probably. I think that's the ultimate end of this. How we get there is still open to question, whether they use some sort of medical emergency or security crisis. But yeah, that's probably how it would be enforced, because all of us are carrying, you know, one of these. So that would be the way to track us and enforce it.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah, go ahead.
How did they catch all the January 6 people that went into the Capitol? They had this with them.
Yep.
They knew exactly. They went right into the Capitol. People didn't know enough not to take this with them, but it was all tracked there. Your presence was there, recorded by this.
I will say that I know of the entire operation. Our special operations team, I was on standby to potentially hop on a military flight and go to the Capitol to respond to that incident. And afterwards, talking with investigators, they used facial recognition along with, so the facial recognition was grabbed by the cameras at the Capitol, somehow or another given access to CNN, and CNN took each individual person's face and went to Facebook and found each individual person and turned that over to the government. So there was cooperation where there should have been no legal cooperation, and nothing has ever come out about that. Well, the technology is only growing further in advancement. Dave, last but not least on this, the infrastructure of the Antichrist. You've been going over the 15-minute cities. Obviously, you and I have been covering in depth what's going on in Maui. Before I go any further, I just want to let you loose. What are your thoughts on this right now?
And my wife would say that's dangerous if you're going to let me loose. I've been taking notes furiously. There's advantages and disadvantages to going last, because going last means your knowledgeable panelists, your colleagues, have covered so many of the main points because they are so knowledgeable. But I took notes where I thought I could kind of fill into the gaps. Could you ask that question again?
The infrastructure of the Antichrist. What is your idea of it right now?
Well, I came up with 8 points related to what has been said, and maybe to fill in the gap, because we can't say everything. You're right about it being universal. All people have to be exposed before the end times are here. And as I investigated 15-minute cities and smart cities, they're not the same thing, but they overlap greatly. I found that the real effort is being centered in the third world. Now, people I talked to, they had, I think, a notion that was half correct. And by half correct, I mean, I said, why do you think they're starting in the third world? Are going fastest in the third world, because we're doing it here, as you said. However, they said, well, these people aren't sophisticated. They won't rise up. They don't have to give up anything. And actually, the technology may temporarily improve their lives. I think that's a valid point. But I think to the point that's already been made here is this has to be known to all on the planet. And where's the greatest catch up needed? In the third world. And I think this is why we're seeing the fight for Africa. Who's going to control the technology? Is it going to be Belt and Road? And I forget the name of the organization, but Europe and America are doing their own version of the Belt and Road now in Africa too. And they're in competition with each other. The Belt and Road's going to win. They're way ahead. That's number one. Number two, you guys brought up CBDC. There's five phases, and Doug Casey talked about this really eloquently on Stansberry Research Show with Danella. Oh God, I can't think of her last name. Wonderful interviewer. And I was mesmerized where this mainstream economist is. He said, central banks are a bad idea, and central bank digital currency is a bad idea on steroids. And this is coming out of the mainstream now. And, you know, Robert Kiyosaki used to be mainstream. Now he sounds like us, and he's saying the same things. You guys are correct. CBDC absolutely will take away every voluntary choice we have. I'm sorry you can't have eggs this month. You had them last month, if you can get them at all, and they will completely control you. And let me tell a quick story that Pat Wood said on my show about 10 years ago. We were talking about technocracy. He talked about a lady in China that he had interviewed. And this is when they began with the Google, you know, social credit nonsense. And she said something on the internet they didn't like. And she didn't mean a slap to the government. She was expressing frustration, bad day, bad mood, a frustration in a work situation. And so 8 men in black, interesting choice of words, but it's true. They showed up at her apartment. She served them tea. And she said, look, I love the government. I support what we do. I was having a bad day. This wasn't meant to carry over and go against government authority or integrity. And they left and she thought she was okay. And as Pat went on to tell the story, within a week, she had lost her apartment. She'd been kicked out of her university, denied any travel permits on public transit, couldn't buy food. I mean, it was incredible what they basically canceled her life, and she had to basically live with people that would support her on the QT. And this is the completeness people need to fear. And I will tell you this, if you have one of these and you talk like a Christian, I'm convinced CBDC will be weaponized against Christians in particular. Doug, you've already experienced it on YouTube. In Northern Colorado and out on the Eastern Plains, the Canadian bank BMO has come into play. And a friend of mine who's a very successful farmer, used to play basketball for me way back in my first year of coaching, he contacted me, and he's really alert. He listens to all of us here. And he said, members of my family that are in a local bank got taken over by BMO, and they've been notified that after Labor Day, there'll be no cash. It'll all be digital and electronic. So, guys, it's already coming in here. The FedNow coin and the FedNow processes, which aren't bad, they speed up how soon you can pass along checks and cash them. And they're making it desirable simply because of the fact that they want you to buy into it. But we're already seeing them jump over some of the intermediate stages, like with BMO Bank. Canada's going total digital. I mean, it's kind of like they're 3 steps ahead of us. And if you really want to see what's coming in Canada, in fact, I'll say this to the audience. The beta test for how the public would react was when the Canadian truckers protesting COVID mandates went to Ottawa, peaceful, but they all lost their bank accounts. And if you gave a pizza to a trucker and they found out about it, they took your bank account, and they wanted to gauge if people would rise up and rebel. And other than a little grumbling, there wasn't anything. CBDC, when this comes in, and I tell my audience this almost every day, when CBDC gets here, it's the end of the resistance as we know it. I mean, the only choice then is violence, and citizens aren't going to overthrow this on their own volition. It would need help from the military. Okay, I want to go on to what you guys said about, I think, Derek, was it you or Jamie that talked about the NSA and they have a digital footprint on everybody? Yeah, I want to score. I'm going to give you a scoring system here. In psychology, every psychologist that gets trained on the universal data-driven analysis, 447 questions of what's called the MMPI. You get a 16-scale score of mental health, and then you get an aggregate score of functioning. Well, they've adopted that model, and I've got this from a bunch of sources through the years. One was directly from someone inside the NSA, but his compartmentalization did not allow him to give me the full breadth. I'll give you what he told me. He said, Dave, he said, you've worked with mental health patients. Yes, I have. You know about the MMPI. Yes, I do. He said, we're using a similar structure to give people scores on various types of characteristics that they exhibit. I mean, they even have one on gluttony. They have one on compliance. They have one on rebellion. And they use more sophisticated terms, but to break it down to layman's terms, and he said, they all have a score on people, and they call it a threat matrix score. And I've been talking about this now for 10 years because this is not new information. The data point for this was originally in Fort Huachuca in Arizona, but it's moved to the Utah facility, and I think they're sharing duties. But all of us have a threat matrix score. So this led to my questioning when people tell me about this. well, how do they decide what they're going to do with these numbers? And he goes, oh, they have an elimination list, and it's done by percentages. And beyond that, Dave, I can't tell you. He said, I don't know how they're scoring it. In other words, are they using percentiles? Are they using a raw score number like 1 to 100? He said, I could not tell you that because I'm compartmentalized out of this. And this is my best source on this. But he said, I will tell you this. He said, at the end of it, if you're at the bottom of the list, you're marked for immediate elimination when the opportunity presents itself. And so this is where my conspiratorial mind goes. Okay, no one's told me this, but there's a reason why they want to herd us into densely populated smart cities that are completely controlled, because it would be much easier to, well, let's say, get rid of the undesirables. And I'm going to tell you something else I found with smart cities and 15-minute cities. Today in America, when you build a building, you start a business or you build a shopping center, whatever it would be, you have to have really strict ADA applications in your buildings. You have to be handicap accessible, right? Now, I've gone through the smart cities. I've gone through 15-minute cities, and I have found nothing, nothing that accommodates handicapped and elderly people. And Bill Gates has said some things that put my mind right what I'm going to tell you. I believe these people will be targeted and eliminated. And I think it's also, too, why we know that when they herded people together in nursing homes and elderly care facilities during COVID, why so many of them died. I don't think that was an accident. I think it's part of the same philosophy. And these people at their core, and I used to teach sociology, and one of the five core principles of sociology is what they call Fabian socialism. And it basically is based on the premise proposed by Herbert Spencer in the 19th century, when he said, if you don't put more into society than you take out, we should eliminate you. Well, you just described really the output equation for elderly people. So I think we're going to see the extermination of the elderly at that level, but I don't think it's going to stop there. I mean, all of us, I guarantee, are on the bad list. We're on the naughty list. Santa's not coming once we're in those cities. AI control, this whole system with the NSA and what you guys were talking about with the massive transfer of data, and it's a complete spy surveillance state, a police state, it's being managed by AI. And the AI is getting better. And there's a reason why they want it to be sentient. I think it's sentient. Now, if I can get into the spiritual, and I'm looking for biblical references, and I really haven't quite nailed this down yet. But when I do, it'll solidify what I've come to believe intuitively from being exposed to this. What I have come to the conclusion of is that AI is being made sentient, so AI will make decisions independent of human beings. Well, what's independent of human beings on this planet? Satan. And I think it's Satan that's going to be the sentient force driving all of AI. And AI will make non-emotional decisions about what group should be eliminated, what group should be favored. But also, too, if you look at transhumanism, I believe transhumanism is the final goal. And Doug and I interviewed a friend of mine for 32 years. He was in the NSA, and they tried to get him and five colleagues, one of them now his present wife, to imitate the Nazi channeling of evil spirits. And they used Ouija boards and stuff. And finally, they said, no, we're not doing this. And they deserted their posts. They were NSA attached to NATO. And they deserted their posts. They were all caught. And they were put in solitary confinement while they decided what to do with them. And then they decided just to cut them loose and totally defame them. And just keep releasing stories about what idiots these people were. But they did not want to do what the Nazis did. But I think what we look at this, what's driving this, where the Nazis, and my father told me this too, the Nazis got a lot of their advanced physics that my dad was trying to reverse engineer in what we call Operation Paperclip, although they never called that with him. They wanted to, he used to ask the Nazi scientists, where did you get the information? From aliens. Did you ever meet them? No. And he knew about Ouija boards and the occult and so forth with the Nazis. He concluded and told me, he said, and there's no aliens to contend with here. He goes, these are demons probably pretending to be aliens. He says it may lead into the great deception that Revelation talks about. My dad was a strong Christian. And I am of that same mindset. Okay, I want to go down here. The word watchers came into play with that a funny address at 33, whatever the street was. There is a group called the Watchers. They come out of the Council of Nine. Vance Davis, my NSA source, has talked to me about this. And I believe that they are the connecting force between humanity and the evil ones behind the scenes whose names and faces we'll never see or know. And the Watchers are actually kind of the buffer and the transmutation into places like the WF. The WF is not calling the shots, guys. And a lot of people make that mistake. The UN is not calling the shots. They are upper level management taking orders from the people behind the scenes. Now, allow me to get real crazy, and I'll close on this just for to say this. Doug knows I believe this, and I speak only for myself. So if anyone watching this thinks that this is total lunacy, that's fine, because my colleagues here aren't necessarily of the same mindset. But what I wonder is when, in fact, in Vance Davis's training in the NSA, they trained him in a secular version of Genesis 6. They said good guys, bad guys fought out in the cosmos, and the bad guys lost their caste to Earth. They married with women. They weren't really humans, and it produced all this nonsense. And eventually, God says, that's it. We're done. Here comes the flood. The question is, if the DNA survived the flood, and this is the missing link in what I think might be happening, and this is why I like to bring this out publicly. It's not meant to force my belief on someone, because I believe it's an intuitive belief, not a scientific belief. But I have to ask myself the question, these people running this planet are making such evil decisions, and they have caused so much death and destruction. It's hard to believe human beings would do this to human beings on a mass scale and be so good at it. And what I'm wondering is if the DNA did not survive, and really the masters behind the scenes, the puppet masters behind the puppets. I'm just wondering if this isn't what we're dealing with, and these are the remnants of Satan who are really running this planet. Now, it's just hypothetical, but it starts to fall into place when you look at the vaccines. What do the vaccines do? They change our DNA. Why do they want to change our DNA? Are they trying to make us like them? Are they trying to convert us into satanic beings? Because here's what Vance told me. He said he was taught that they tried these people that came to Earth that were cast down, you know, by the Lord in Genesis 6. They wanted to steal the soul to get back at God. This is what Vance was taught. They could not figure out how to do that. So they decided way back then they wanted to transform human beings to ruin God's creation. So God's creation would morph and not be God's creation anymore. And isn't this what we're seeing with the vaccines? And isn't this not what we're seeing with these fallen angels? I mean, this is what I'm, and like I said, this is speculative, and it's me, you know, the human brain is wired to try to find completeness. It's called the gestalt in psychology. And my desire to try to find a completeness, an explanation behind these terrible events and these horrible decisions that imperil humanity. I just have to say, could this be it? Because there certainly is an evil running loose on the earth. And I think we can all agree on this as I close. The evil is Satan. And see, if we're dealing with an AI that can program itself, could reflect Satan, I think when we see that our enemies are not against flesh and blood, they're against the principalities of darkness. I'm just wondering if this isn't part of the principalities of darkness.
Oh, I think you're right. We deal with so many different elements of this problem, and we'll have to contend with a few things eventually. If you were in law enforcement, in the military, you have to contend with the human element. Everything else out there, you know, you'll have to contend with the spiritual element, but both coincide back and forth with each other. I'm going to open this up for 5 minutes, and I want you guys to have a general conversation, make sure that we're not stepping all over each other. With the infrastructure of the Antichrist coming, let's throw out the word FEMA camps. mass die-offs. You have all these other huge problems that are coming. Apophis 2029 scaring everybody to death. What would make people take the mark of the beast and join the infrastructure of the Antichrist? Gentlemen, I'm going to open this up with you. Derek, I'd like for you to start.
Essentially, a crisis that would convince people that unless they joined in and took that mark, their family's livelihood, their family's ability to survive would be threatened. This goes back to what we were talking about with CBDCs. You can't buy or sell. You can't feed your family. You get a crisis that threatens the safety or security of your family. A lot of people are willing to do whatever they are told to do. And I think what we've experienced over the last 3 years was a trial run to see how far people can be pushed. So I think that's what we're looking at, some sort of security threat, whether it's economic, physical in the form of World War III, which, by the way, I think we're already in the early stages of, or perhaps even something manufactured to look like a threat coming from outside the earth. Could be any one of a number of things. We'll know when we see it, I pray. That's one of our daily prayers is for wisdom and discernment to recognize what's going on around us. But I think bottom line is when it comes down to threatening the lives of people and their families, then I think that's that will be the trigger that gets people to buy into the beast system.
Bob, you want to go?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, and Daniel, it says, seal up the words of this prophecy until the end. The implication is that as the end gets closer, more and more will be revealed. But we do know one thing. We know human beings. The social pressure, we saw what happened in the last 3 years of people who didn't want to go along with the program, but social pressure, my needs of my family, I can't get fired. You know, the rationalization is so easy. You know, would God want my family to starve to death? So I've got to do this. You know, my neighbors are making fun of me. I mean, we know the social pressure of just rejection. We live in a society of rejection and people do everything they can to avoid rejection. And so here will be rolled out on the scene, the most popular, wonderful, fantastic system the world has ever known. This is the Fabian globalist, you know, utopia that they've been seeking, and it's being rolled out on the planet right now. And you can be a part of it. All you have to do is take this mark and you will get this, this, and this. And I believe, you know, part of it will also be a genetic thing where, you know, you will be as God. All the promise that Satan gave Adam and Eve in the garden will become part of the Antichrist's system. I mean, you know, you think about it. The first wisdom, the first information that we have recorded that Adam and Eve received from a source outside of God was the serpent. And what did he say? He offered them esoteric knowledge. You will have privilege if you do this. You will have understanding that God is holding from you. And that pressure, along with the social pressure, the economic pressure, is going to be something most human beings have not trained themselves to be in. You're a warrior, Doug. Jamie's a warrior. I was a different kind of warrior, but you know my past. Fear is the greatest obstacle we have to overcome. And I think that because people in the United States, we haven't faced fear in a long time, they're going to cave in to the fear that comes from social pressure, the fear that comes from financial pressure, and the fear of being left out, rejected. And I totally agree with Derek when he said it is going to be a system that uses several complex human emotions to force people into doing it. And a lot of people might not want to do it. I imagine there's going to be a lot of people who said, you know, I've read it here in the book. You know, I read it here. It's here. But, you know, let's see. God doesn't want my family to starve. I got to have a job. I got to do this. I got to do that. So I'm going to be compliant. And it'll cost them their soul. And Satan knows this. He's been observing humanity for 6,000 years. He knows the hot buttons to push on people to make them do what he wants them to do. And we have seen these hot buttons now brought to the forefront, and they're pushed every day by these, I agree with Dave, by these satanic global powers to force us down this road. I mean, it's insanity where we're heading. I mean, everything we do today seems like it's insane. The wars, the financial just recklessness with economies, everything goes insane. The way we educate our children, insane. The way we make food, insane. But Satan is pushing the buttons and we're gladly going down that road. And so when the final decision comes for humanity, a decision that's going to cost you your soul or not your soul, the ability to ration it away, the ability to look at what is falsely promised to you is going to be overwhelming to most Americans because they'll have never dealt with this before because it's spiritual in nature. Our churches are failing us miserably. They're not teaching us the nature of what spiritual warfare is. Adam and Eve failed the test and they were in a utopia. I mean, much more today we're, you know, if you talk about spiritual warfare in church today, they're going to be thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is weird. You know, we don't talk about that here. We talk about your best life now and things of that nature. So because Americans have not been trained to face evil, we've not been trained to rise up against evil. We've been trained to be compliant. The love of man, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, all those things have been incorporated into our lives, into the church. It's sad. When you think about it, we read sad stories, you know, of just children being abused. All these sad stories you read in the news today, but nothing is going to be as sad as to say billions of people just traded their soul for some temporary relief. And that's what we're going to face. Billions are going to, you know, take the mark, whatever, however it manifests itself, they'll take it, knowing it to one level or another. They'll take that mark knowing that it's going to condemn their soul for all eternity.
Dave?
Well said. I kept going back to Revelations 13, 18 when you were talking about that last part, Bob. You talked about a fake event. I want to be mindful of this, but I think it's the strategy of last resort to get control over the planet, and that's Project Bluebeam. Even in my father's work, he learned about it. And the Germans actually had some knowledge of this as well, too. And they had discussed it. They didn't call it that. But Project Bluebeam is a fake alien invasion over the Earth. Technology can pull it off and fool the people. And if you obliterate a couple cities in the process, I mean, I think you'll get people to believe pretty quickly. But again, you know, and I know I don't think it's an accident that our government right now is all of a sudden kind of turning the corner slowly but surely to talk about, oh, gee, there's aliens. We have craft. And I think they're setting up the narrative. They're promoting the narrative right now to program humanity to accept it when they unveil it. But the unveiling, I could be wrong, but I'm wondering if this is not the great deception spoken about in Revelation. And you said something about the churches. I'm going to give a plug to a pastor that's in Scottsdale, Arizona. His name's Mark Driscoll. And there are good churches that I've seen, and there are some good pastors. Most are just give me your money, and we'll just pat you on the head and say you're a good Christian. But Mark is actually taking on the issues. And I want to say this, too. There's other good men standing up, too. Alice Cooper had the widest distribution music radio program in the country. And a lot of people don't know this about Alice. He's a converted, committed Christian. And he does this charity every Christmas and gives it to all these Christian charities. He's a good man, really good man. But you never hear this in the media. He came out on a show about 6 weeks ago, and he talked about making kids think they should change their gender when they're 5 years old, 10 years old. He said, this is sick. If you want to do it when you're 18, that's your right. It's your right to do that. But he said, leave the kids alone. Here's a guy, no one's outside their reach, right? Here's a guy, his show basically told him he had to retract, apologize, and blah, blah, blah. And what I have been told is he said, to heck with you. And he even said, last night was a show, and my wife and I went to a birthday party for my brother-in-law. We're on our way home, and we had on his show, the last show. And he says, I won't apologize for who I am. He goes, I believe what I believe, and this may not be the last place you ever hear me. So I wanted to give a shout out. There are good men and women, but ladies and gentlemen, we all have to stand up. If we only get an Alice Cooper or a Mark Driscoll to stand up, they're going to be squashed like the bug on the windshield. We need, this is why I do my show. I use YouTube like a 101. Here's the intro, because you can't talk about very much. And then Doug and I do a lot of TV shows together. And it goes up on our podcasts and our radio network. And there's where we really get into the depth. And what we're repeatedly trying to get people to do is to take action. And I really believe faith without works doesn't mean a lot. God doesn't, I think, expect us to sit back and be a passive observer to what's going on. It's God's plan. He'll fix it. Jesus is coming. We need to act in accordance with the faith. And I want to issue one warning in closing. There are pastors out there right now that will say things that go like this. He may not be a godly man, but he's God's man. And Romans 13 says you must do what he says. I don't have a problem with that when it comes to paying taxes, not jaywalking, that kind of thing. But the minute they cross over into the belief and start telling me to do things that are not Christian, that's where I say, this is not what Romans 13 is saying. And it's a false doctrine coming from many pastors now.
Jamie?
Yeah, you know, when I look at the, again, I always go totality of the circumstances. Doug, you and I, law enforcement backgrounds and stuff like that, you know, so we kind of learn how to build out a case. But the reality is that it's all about the, when you look at from the arcane occultism, mystery schools, mystery religions, from Canaanitic, Phoenician, Sumerian-based stuff that rolls over into all the, you know, Egyptological, Babylonian, and onward, right, into the Greco-Roman. And then you have that continued, you know, pantheon, this principality ruled pantheon type of governmental system that the U.S. has adopted. And even when we look at the Capitolian and even the name Capitol, right, and the Temple of Jupiter and all the different overlay with all these different things that the U.S. represents. And then, you know, it gets into Sir Francis Bacon and Adam Weishaupt and seeing the, you know, North American continent as this place for the resurrection, the revival of the Atlantean age, right? The new Atlantis rising out, the Phoenix rising out of the ashes, on and on and on it goes, right? So all these occultic overtones. And if you miss that, you'll miss the meta, right? The meta detail, the micro of what's going on. And so what we're looking at right now is this preparation for the largest satanic ritualistic abuse ceremony that's ever been seen in the history of humanity. This is trauma-based mind control on a global scale. With the event that occurred here recently in the last couple of years, we saw that for the first time since the Tower of Babel, that a global collective consciousness was created through fear-based, trauma-based circumstances, right? And so when you look at the initiation truly at the end of the age, and I know there's different perspectives on this in the eschatology world out there, but when you look at as soon as the seals start getting broken, you know, at the beginning of Revelation, is it's a systematic breaking of these seals that creates an instantaneous global traumatic experience from the war, World War III, then the global economic collapse, secondary World War III, then the rollout of, you know, pestilence and death in Hades ruling over the world, secondary to World War III and the economic collapse, then the astral catastrophism, feeling it all together, and then the initiation of what could only be coined as the great deception, right? So there has to be this softening, this asymmetric warfare aspect, psychological warfare component of this mass global shared collective conscious creating a high mind mentality so that somebody in Malaysia or the Philippines, right, or Eritrea or Ethiopia or Somalia or Sudan or into the, you know, South Pacific island nations or whatever, that when I would talk to them, which if people are paying attention, this is what happened in the last few years. If I would talk to them, we would have an instantaneous shared experience. We would be unified in spirit. We'd be unified in our emotion. We'd be unified in our experiences. We'd be unified in the struggles familially, you know, with the sadness or the economic despairs or just the woes or the fears or whatever. No matter who you talk to in the world, it would be a shared experience. That is the foundation upon which the rollout of this infrastructure, which we've already spoken to, the infrastructure that's placed, that will be when that is actually finally loosed onto the scene. And so you have to look at it systematically. Most people, you know, tend to kind of view Revelation as if this big, long, slow grinding process, but that's not true. That's not true anymore in this technological age. These things, from all the seals into the astro catastrophism, into the rollout of the actual mark of the beast and the consolidation of all things, this can occur in a matter of 6 weeks. It would all be done. Boom, 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 boom. There's your sheer traumatic experience that's on the scene. And when it comes to disclosure, I know this is like a total like pivot. You know, sometimes I like to grind the gears. If you can't find them, grind them when I pivot. But like when you think about, I did this deep dive a couple months ago. Not super deep. I don't have enough time to go super deep, but okay, a cursory dive, right? And so I was paying attention to the sound bites on the mainstream media from all these different ufology, UAP, you know, think tank stuff coming out about this with all this soft disclosure. And you know what I noticed the number one thread was in every single one of those? Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and all the other mainstream media outlets that would bring on a pundit to speak to these things, even the Navy pilots and the blah, 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 right? All the blacks. Projects, things, and all this soft disclosure is the singular theme. When I went through about 30 of them in one sitting, little clips, every single one of them made mention of the UFO extraterrestrial technology and thought secondary to nuclear events, nuclear reactors, and nuclear testing. That is so critical to understand with what they're getting ready to do with World War III. You see, these things are all being built into layers. And even the end of the layer with the limited nuclear exchange, and then you have the Great Reset and everything that comes in with that, the economic system. Then you have this shared collective experience, and then you have the disclosure secondary to even the limited nuclear exchange that we're assured it is inevitable, listeners. This nuclear World War III, this limited nuclear exchange, it is inevitable. Imminency. That's hard to determine. Inevitability is certain, right? And so it's interesting that it's actually all intrinsically correlated, even up to including Apophis. Now, if anybody's listened to me for any moment of time, you'll know that every single thing I work from the micro up to the macro, and the macro, the umbrella connecting it all, is Apophis. Apophis is the umbrella, or maybe not Apophis in particular, but some form of astro catastrophism in particular, is the macro of everything, from the 15-minute cities to the consolidation to the defunding of police to the infrastructure to the mechanism to the transhumanism movement and the need of transhumanism to the artificial wombs to the CRISPR-Cas9 technology to the space-based weapons and space-based weapons platforms and Space Force to the rampant need for instantaneous global depopulation through mechanisms that we're all aware of in the recent history, including World War III and including lowering the birth rate through all these things, is all centered on astro catastrophism. They know what's coming. They know the source of what's coming, the Lord God Most High, the Holy One of Israel, and his son Jesus Christ. They all know, and everything has to be understood through the lens of that higher level, which we know biblically is affirmed of what's coming next. So that's kind of where my mind funnels it all up to, that overarching picture. Everything, think of the seed vaults, think of the consolidation of shipping and shipping lanes, and think of the supply chain consolidation, the tech company consolidation, the economic consolidation, the great push for depopulation on everything imaginable. When you look at the different think tank things that they've rolled out, most recently 2018 and 2019 in New York City, they've done all these different beta tests and simulations with all the I'm back, Doug. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, we got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually when you start going to that central planning stuff, things don't go so well every time we talk about that. Anyway, so I'll just wrap it up. That to me is the convergent zenith of all of it, is that central theme of this global shared traumatic experience to consolidate everything under the Antichrist, with the impending, their understanding of the justice and judgment of God over the face of the earth. So that's what they know is coming.
So Jamie, Bob had a question for you real quick, and then we need to move on to the next series of questions. Go ahead, Bob.
So, you know, I've traveled the world in very dangerous positions, and I know what many people suffer is PTSD. So Jamie, would you describe this you know, what does PTSD do to people? And because of the global trauma that we see, how is it affecting people's ability? Because I think the world, and maybe you'll agree with me, is most people in the world are suffering from a global PTSD. How's it going to affect their ability to make discerning choices when complex issues come up?
Yeah, the thing is when you're in survival mode, you know, I recently preached on different attributes of the survival mode. And even in the book, I wrote specifically about the mechanisms of fear, right? The physiology and the psychology of fear, which is why all belligerents in this cosmic warfare, actually the currency of their economies is fear. The powers of darkness, it's fear. The Lord and his eternal kingdom is fear-based. The fear of the Lord. It's all about fear. It's where you place your fears. Misplaced fear versus rightly placed fear, right? And so that is at the central of the centrality of this consolidation in the control of humanity will be fear-based. Physiologically, you will do anything to alleviate any aspects of your fear when it's misplaced. Now, biblically, when we rightly place our fear on the Lord and we reserve our fear for him and him alone, we are imbued with courage, honor, courage, and commitment, devotion to duty, steadfastness, resoluteness, right? We have this ability to do it. We are actually fearless because we've already given all of our fear to the Lord. And we know that because God is love and he's worthy of his fear, that actually his perfect love cast out all that counterfeit fear. And so then we're able to actually be the fulfillment of Daniel 11:32, which it says that those who know their God will be strong and go forth and do exploits. They'll go forth and do daring feats of valor. And the only way we can do that is if we fear the Lord alone, but not our lives and not governments and not the machinations of the global elite and not men and not starvation and not financial ruination. We don't fear those things. We're so secure and confident in God through the sufficiency and the propitiation and the completion of the work of Jesus Christ unto the resurrection, the reoccupied seat at the right hand of the Father, that we have no fear. We're like, dude, what are you going to do? Take my life? Good luck with that. Bought and paid for, right? Like, he owns it. Not worried about it. You can't take my life from me. Go talk to my king if you want to touch me, right? And it's like, so that fearlessness is because it's rightly placed fear in the Lord. So yeah, in answer to your question, that fear is the currency of all belligerents in this cosmic war. Fear. Misplaced fear versus rightly placed fear. And that is going to be the distinction, the delineating line, Malachi 3 and 4, the Lord specifically says that is the demarcation line. That is the sifting of the sheep and the goats, the light and the darkness, the lawlessness from the righteousness, the overcomers from those who will be overcome is where your fear is placed. So it's a war for fear.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to move on to the next question. The next question, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of back and forth to this. All of you have mentioned the alien opponent. I don't say component. I say opponent, because everything that's coming about right now is in opposition to God. You can tell that from the media to the history channels, ufology, TV shows, even what our government is trying to now say forward is that there is life that is out there, that potentially seeded life here on Earth. That is the most catching thing. It's New Age. It has everything to do with a satanic evolution of the human, I guess you could say, religiosity, because now you have alien religions, and it just gets stranger from there. So let's get into this. The alien opponent is the non-human entity that was discussed by the current UFO UAP Congressional Committee a real physical threat from an off-world race of beings, or is it a grand satanic deception, or is it both? Derek, I'd like to start with you first.
In a nutshell, it's a grand satanic deception. Notice when they said non-human entity, they referred to non-human biological, but that could be anything. It could be monkey, could be octopus, could be, you know, whatever. It didn't say specifically this is an extraterrestrial entity. Back in 2017, Josh Peck and I co-wrote the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, which is a play on the title of the 1952 movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, about first contact. And we showed in that book, going step by step with research from non-Christians, as far as I know, the direct step-by-step linear connection, links from the occult teachings that began all the way back in the pre-Christian era with the Greek philosophers, including some who were debated by Paul on Mars Hill in Athens, like the Epicureans, right through the occult teachings of the 19th century, the 18th and 19th century, Swedenborg, the Fox sisters and their spiritist movement, Madame Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, and so on, and the modern ancient aliens meme. It is occultic. It is theosophy repackaged for the 21st century. It is a science fiction religion, and its prophets are von Daniken, Sitchin, and Tsoukalos, with many willing dupes out there who think that they're on the verge of some sort of supernatural spiritual discovery, like Dr. Stephen Greer, who appears to be sincere in his desire to make a better world. He believes these extraterrestrials are here to share with us unconditional love. And that's why he gave up a very profitable career as an ER physician back in North Carolina. He was making a six-figure salary, and he's devoted his life to spreading the gospel of ET. This is what this is all about. The story really broke in 2017, the week after our book was published, which was really great marketing as far as we were concerned. But sadly, we didn't have anything in the book about the 2004 Tic Tac incident witnessed by pilots from the USS Nimitz and the radar operator on the Nimitz, radar operator on the USS Princeton, which is a nuclear submarine that was part of the Nimitz carrier group. They certainly saw something. But the leap of logic that we've been asked to make is that what they saw, because the pilots and the radar operators couldn't identify it, is that it must be extraterrestrial. Well, no, it doesn't automatically follow. This could be some sort of drone that was developed by the Russians or the Chinese or us that we're not supposed to know about. I mean, remember, prior to Gulf War I, the stealth fighter, the F-111, was just an urban legend until suddenly it wasn't. The B-2 stealth bomber was an urban legend until suddenly it wasn't. I think we're looking at some human technology, perhaps inspired by principalities and powers behind the scenes. But again, it doesn't follow automatically that just because Lieutenant Commander David Fravor, the F-18 pilot, who was the main witness to this event, the one who captured that forward-looking infrared radar of the Tic Tac, just because he couldn't identify what it was doesn't mean it comes from Zeta Reticuli. So when we're getting now, and now we've got this whole thing has been rebooted with David Grush, the so-called whistleblower, who, when you read his statements, didn't actually see any of this. He didn't actually witness any of this. He doesn't have personal firsthand knowledge of any of this. He heard it from a guy who heard it from a guy. I'm sorry. This is the same thing that Josh and I documented in our book, going back to Roswell in 1947. It's the intelligence community doing what the intelligence community has always done, which is control the narrative. When you look at the way the story broke in 2017, the New York Times article was written by two longtime UFO activists, Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal, who've been promoting the story ever since. They, their main witness to this, the whistleblower, was Luis Elizondo, a former DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency operative, who we are told retired from the agency in October of 2017. By December of 2017, he was on the board of directors for an agency called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. When you looked at their board of directors back in 2017 and 2018, they were all from the intelligence community, the military intelligence complex, including Dr. Hal Puthoff, who was the guy who ran the remote viewing experiments at Stanford Research Institute back in the 80s called Operation Stargate. So, and yet the CEO of this organization, you get a bunch of guys who were former spooks who decide, okay, God bless them. They're taking their unique skill sets and they're trying to make a living after their government service. So we're led to believe. And they decide that the guy who is best suited to serve as the chief executive officer of their new company is Tom DeLonge, the former guitarist and lead singer for Blink-182. Okay, that just sounds a little weird to me. Again, I think all of this, the whole narrative, about the existence of non-human entities is the military intelligence surveillance complex controlling the narrative, pushing humanity in a specific direction to believe in the existence of extraterrestrials who are somehow here to help us evolve spiritually to the next level of our evolution. It is nothing more than repackaged theosophy. And when you consider it in that light, I think that speaks to the spirits behind it.
Derek, myself and Dave Hodges, we've always said, because we've been covering this whole David Grush episode since it's come out, that he is more of a herald of what is to come because he knew nothing. And going back into a little bit of, you know, what I used to do in the government, I can tell you this for a fact. And I have talked to other members of what I used to do, and they would say the same thing. If you came from where I came from and you had top secret evidence that they killed people for the last 40, 50 years over, and you decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a good thing. I'm going to tell the world about your dirty little secret. Oh, and I'm going to ask you for authorization for it too. Most likely, even if I was in that position, and I'll say that right now, if I was in the position as the authorizing official, I would have you arrested. Immediately, I would have you arrested. And you better be hoping your legs don't get broke while you're being detained. That is still what happens, and we know that is what happens. And the fact that that man walks around freely, scared for his life or not, I've been told all different types of, you know, fanciful things before, but that doesn't mean I believe it. Now, David Grush and all the others who've come out, it is a very, I believe, a very well choreographed event, and we're going to see more choreographed events. And to go into that, Dave, you and I have covered this for a while, the alien opponent, and you and I have talked about for a while the UFO, UAP stuff. What is your thought process on this right now? We haven't talked about it in a while, but where's your mind at now with it?
Hasn't changed, and I totally agree with Derek. He had a great banner phrase. It is a deception. It's Satan repackaging something, and he's trying to make people believe a false belief. And like I said earlier, I think it's a conditioning process to get people used to the idea, hey, they're real. And I think if you look at media too, go back to the Independence Day concept. What would be the goal of Bluebeam? It would be to fake people out. There's a real invasion, and it unifies the nations of the earth under one house. And that's Satan's goal. So that's where I stand with this. You know, I don't know if there's aliens. It's hard to prove a negative. It's one of the things you taught when you study research and stats. It's hard to prove a negative. But the burden of proof is on the people making the claim, and I don't think they've made the claim.
Bob, you and I have talked about this, being a little bit of an intelligence background. Do you see this as one big intelligence operation?
Absolutely. And I totally agree with Derek. It's satanic in origin. I mean, we have a mastermind as our enemy. And, you know, Martin Luther in the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, it says, unless the right man were on our side, our striving would be failing. Mm-hmm. And that's where we would be at. See, because as Christians, Christ has the preeminence in all things in our life. It's Christ. And as I said earlier, Adam and Eve fell for this esoteric knowledge. You know, if you will do this, if you'll jump through these hoops, I'm going to tell you think God is holding away from you. You know, and just as a thing to answer the question, in some ways, I say it's both as far as, you know, extraterrestrial and of this world. And I mean by extraterrestrial, Satan, his original domain was not this earth. He can visit this earth, obvious because of Job, but his domain is not there. His domain is the heavens. And there comes a time in the Bible when it says he's cast out of heaven. He no longer has access to that realm anymore. He's cast down to earth. And what does it say? He comes with great wrath because he knows his time is short. So here we have a being that has never known one. You know, I don't have it on, but I usually wear a wristwatch. You know, we have our timers on our phones. He has never had to experience this before, this thing called time and time constraints, because he's been a creature of eternity. So he's cast out of heaven. And all of a sudden, it's like, 3.5 years. And so he has great wrath. One of the ways he expresses his wrath is through deception. And this is the greatest deception the Bible says will ever happen. It says if it were possible, and I don't think it is possible, but if it is possible, even the elect would be deceived. So that's what I think we're seeing right now. This great spiritual deception is being formed by our adversary. And this is the thing. It's all designed to steal the preeminence away from Jesus Christ, because he is the focus of all things. And this is a concern I have even within the church that, you know, believe me, I want to know what the seven thunders said. There's that thing inside of us that wants to know those mysteries. It appeals to our pride. It appeals to our intellect. It appeals to so many things. And so, you know, when you're in the loop in this esoteric knowledge of what's coming and the aliens and what they're going to bring, and, you know, you're going to be gifted with knowledge. You know, I was just dealing with somebody the other day who's called themselves, they became a star seed. And this is where they had a death, burial, and resurrection. These angels came to them, and that their job is to bring about the millennium. You know, you can read about it. It's taking over. I think it eventually take over the church, because the church is the doctrine free. They don't have any real doctrines, and this starseed mentality is going to take over, where we experience this symbolic death, burial, and resurrection, and we're going to usher in the millennium, preterism, and so forth. That's what I see what happens. So I think humanity has been primed for this great deception by a being who's so much more intellectually superior to us. And the only thing that keeps us safe from that deception is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the goal of this teaching, is to take Christ out of his preeminence and make this the thing that people focus on. This the thing that people worship. They will bow down to the beast. They will give homage to the beast. They'll worship the beast, not Jesus Christ. And we see it happening in the church and out of the church. So this, I think your question is a warning. Is that as Christians, we need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And these things here, we know they're going to happen. Jesus said the deception is going to be so great, but we have to understand that and not fall for it. And the caution is also that Jesus said, you know, when you see him out in the desert, when you see him here, when you see him there, don't go to him. You know, we all like to think we're strong guys. We all like to think I can handle anything, you know, but we can't. We're weak. And the power, and compared to the power of Luciferian deception, we're weak. So it's only as we abide in Christ, it's only as we stay in him, keep his word in our forefront, and not give ourselves over to this, that we will stand in a state of deception, because it is. Totally agree with Derek. It's satanic deception, and I think it will be at its greatest level since man came into the cosmos. God created him. And so that's the question, I think, is a warning to Christians.
Jamie?
Yeah, no, it's, I think that it's probably the most prescient topic, you know, currently, besides the apostasy of the church. But the only reason for the ability for the great deception, see, it's key language. Like, I love language in the scripture, because everything's definitive, everything is solid, everything's immovable. I always go, look, it says all, every, many, few, you know, like everything's very definitive, declarative statements. And so we're not talking about a deception, or another deception, or a part of deceptions. We're talking about the great deception. It has a very particular qualifier to it. And so when you're looking at the culmination of all of human history from Genesis 1:1, right? The world was tohu and bohu, which presupposes cosmic warfare. Genesis 1:1 presupposes cosmic warfare, and the Lord stood over the waters of the deep. He stood over the Leviathan. He stood over the chaos dragon, right? And you see this thing all the way through to the end. It is the culmination of the cosmic insurrectionary nature of the third of the angels of the heavenly host who knew God in full and fully rejected him. That's even, I'll start preaching, right? I got to keep on task. So this is so critical, because it is actually, the seeds have been sown at such a level that most people don't understand. And the seeds that have been sown are through the arcane knowledge of the ancients, of the mystery school teachings. And as Derek already alluded to, is theosophy and this idea of self-directed evolutionary process of the species. This is what's rooted in transhumanism, genetic manipulation. It's about an in-run around of immortality that can only be found in Christ. It's in-run around how God deals with sin through the justice and judgment of God through Jesus Christ. It's an in-run around repentance. It's an in-run around bowing your knee. It's an in-run around everything. It's an in-run around submitting yourself under God. It's neo-Gnosticism through Mormonism and NAR and preterism and dominionism and even different Islamic eschatology and Catholic Church panspermia eschatology, which is being taught at the Vatican right now. All of it is about war against the Lord God Almighty through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what all of it's centered on. So even Robert and I recently did a program speaking to star seeds, right? These star seeds and these indigo children. You have Donald Trump that's actively, every single speech Trump gives, he makes a Kabbalistic statement regarding the Aquarian age and the return of the golden age of the gods. And nobody knows what he's saying because they don't have a clue what he's talking to. Every time all the QAnon stuff was about panspermia, Aquarian age, occultic neurolinguistic phrases. All the QAnon stuff that was going on, right? And so even NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, everything coming out of Bethel and Hillsong, everything coming out of the Mormon Church, everything coming out of the ecumenical movement is all centered on this great deception. And guess what else is? The Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Convention. Everything that they're teaching is actually has an underpinning, and I don't think they're aware of it, hence deception, right? They're not overtly malicious. It is the secret doctrines of demons bringing the way of truth into disrepute to where you will not tolerate sound doctrine, but rather you will give heed to these seductions, right? These it's seductive. I think, Robert, maybe it was you and I the other day too, talked about seduction, right? It's these seductions. And the thing is the nature of true deception is the reality that, like in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, she saw that the fruit was good, pleasurable, and desirable for gaining a knowledge. Good, good, good. Three good things. So the thing about this panspermia, this great deception, and even this Aquarian age language, this neo-occultism, neo-Gnosticism, this Nimrodian resurrection-based regenerating type of golden age of the gods. Like, I don't know whatever their adjectives I can use to do it. It is actually, the deception is that it's altruistic. See, that's the nature of the deception, is that all these people, even at the, you know, to the Stars Academy and through these UAP things, to the hardcore, you know, astral projecting, occultic, you know, holy yoga practitioners of opening their chakra, pineal gland, whatever, you coin it, they actually believe that it's altruistic. I believe that 90% of the world's leading occultic spirit guided freak shows out there are altruistic. They actually believe that they are a part and parcel to this self-directed evolutionary process of the species with their Promethean promise to bring us back into a higher level of understanding. Why? Because God is love. See, that is the underpinnings of the great deception, is the law of one, which is an Egyptological mystery school teaching through Ra, which is Osiris, which is Horus, which is Nimrod, right? This Nimrodian worship that we see all over the face of the earth is that God is love, period. We know that biblically, right? And therefore, because God is love, he wants you to come into this process with him, with these guides, with these men of old, these men of renown, the golden age of the gods, the return of the gods, and all these other things, the regeneration, resurrection of the gods of old, Nimrod, right? And all the rising of Osiris ceremonies and all the Freemasonic stuff, all the occultic stuff, because God is love. And now you get to cooperate, you get to co-partner, you even get to co-create through all the transhumanism stuff with God for this process because he loves you. How is that for a deception? And see, what's crazy is that the church is actually teaching that. They are actively, from the social justice warriors, guess what they're teaching? You, through self-directed evolutionary processes, are a part of terraforming the Earth. It's a counterfeit millennial reign. You can achieve a counterfeit millennial reign without Jesus being a part of it. Congratulations, Christians, because you're so woke, you're so amazing, you're so progressive. Nar Bethel Hillsong, you can grave soak, you can tarot card read, you can destiny card read, you can twirling dervish your way to open your pineal gland to allow for greater neo-Gnosticism of God. You can do transcendental meditation, you can do contemplative prayer, you can do labyrinth prayer rocking to open your mind, because God wants you to do these things because he's love. Mormons, you can repopulate your own planet with as many people as you want through these baptisms. And by the way, Mormons are the leading transhumanists on the face of the earth, is Mormonism, because it's in alignment with their cosmic extraterrestrial worship of these arcane deities, principalities. It's already in alignment with their theology. Same with the Catholic Church and the worship of angels, the deification of the feminine deity, the Queen of Heaven, which is why God judged Israel for baking cakes to the Queen of Heaven. I mean, Inanna, I know Derek does seminal work on all these amazing, the etymology of these, of the language of the name and how we get to these things. So when we say deception, you're going to see it. You're going to hear it. You're going to experience it. You can touch it, see it, smell it. The voice of God technology, the transhuman technology, Project Bluebeam, with an actual literal manifestation of these things, as we see in the book of Revelation, with transgenic things breaking back on the earth, right? And then even the attributes of the Antichrist to perform lying signs and wonders, even calling down fires from the heaven, right? To deceive even the elect if it were possible. I'm talking layers of deception, and actually all of humanity already has already bought into it without the manifestation. So when the manifestation comes, that just solidifies it that they were right all along. All their little internal monologues about the cosmos, life, death, eternal life, blah, blah, blah. They'll go, finally, it all makes sense when these guys show up. So that's how gnarly the great deception truly is.
You know, I think that when the deception rolls out, you'll have every historian dragging out every history book, referencing everything like what you guys have just talked about, especially you, Derek. I know you go really, really deep into the history of these words, the names, the locations, the pantheon of gods. And you see it in History Channel and in the Discovery Channel, National Geographic. Every show that is out there always references the old gods are actually aliens. That's what it breaks down to every time. And they refuse to have a Christian come on and have more than a 10-second soundbite, because the one thing that they fear is Jesus. Absolutely. They will not use the name Jesus or anyone who will actually go out there and stand against their narrative. So let me ask you guys this. Let's go over another part of the deception. What if they roll out the craft? What do you gentlemen make of the revelation of our government and now multiple governments saying that they have possession of off-world craft? Dave, I know you said that they have to be able to prove it first, but if they roll out the flying saucer from 1948, which, by the way, is an interesting, the saucer crashes on Earth in 1948, the same year Israel comes back to life, right? Given its very limited descriptions of what we've been told about the craft, is this a real craft or is it another deception, a nuts and bolts deception? Because right now within the Christian movement, you have Christian ufologists who are trying to expose this, that this is a satanic deception, though it will be as real as you could ever think it would be. Guys, I'm going to make this an open conversation. So whoever wants to go first, just make sure you're not stepping over each other's conversations. Go ahead.
Let me speak to that real quick. I'm actually, you guys know I'm in Four Corners. I can look out this back window. I'm staring at Mesa Verde National Park, right? This is what they call like the umbilical cord for Anastasi to the Pueblo, to the Navajo, to even Aztec and Incan. They believe they came out of this area. A highly enigmatic area. I'm going to film in Dulce this coming week with Keith from End Times Production. I'm an hour and a half from Dulce. Not that far from Los Alamos, and more in particular, our neighbor city here is Aztec, New Mexico. If anybody's familiar with Aztec, New Mexico, it's where two of the most significant primary crash retrievals and body retrievals have occurred on a mesa that I can drive about 10 miles and see the mesa from, right? So like this area that I'm in is highly enigmatic in that way, with just the consolidation of this reality of this overlay of deception, their craft, our craft. Is it our craft? Is it their craft? Is it extraterrestrials? Is it off Earth? Planet Rahab, the asteroid belt, right? All the different Moore's laws and all these different, astrological and astronomical aspects of the laws and all the stuff that's going on, right? It all kind of converges, even in this particular area. And so, again, one of the aspects of this deception, as you're saying, is the advanced technological capabilities of governments around the world. I personally have a family member who was an OSS member. This is a precursor to the CIA. He was operating almost literally like Indiana Jones. He was operating at Stanford University as the chief instructor for geology. Kind of like Indiana Jones, right? He is a professor, but actually worked for the OSS. And he was with Admiral Byrd on Operation High Jump 1 and 2. And I actually have a primary source 35 millimeter film from Operation High Jump that nobody's ever seen before. I think I maybe shared it with Doug. And actually has a medal from Operation High Jump. I have pictures of him and Admiral Byrd scouting over Antarctica and all this stuff, and including his personal journal. And I give that background to say that primary source information is unbelievably valuable. We always have to go, I was trained in academia, right, with an undergrad in history. We're always trained to look at primary source, read the journals, read the documents, read the handwriting things. Don't read what people say about it. Read what they had to say about it, the contemporaries did, right? That gives you the greatest clarification of what is truth and what is reality and what is official historicity. And all that to say is that the capabilities of our government agencies with regards to advanced technology, anti-gravitical propulsion, mercury-based centrifugal types of things, high-speed aircraft, multiple times past Mach, sound-breaking barriers, very low energy, the ability to create a type of gravitational force field around the objects so that the pilots in the craft don't experience the G forces. That's why, you see these different UAPs or UFOs. UAPs is such a generic word, but that can, move at high rates of speeds, make 90 degree angle changes, go up, go down, go left, go right, do whatever. They make very little noise. Yes. The bottom line is, yes, we have that capability. Not only do we have that capability, we've had that capability, burgeoning on the scene in the late 40s, more or less perfected by the mid 50s, and in full implementation by the end of the 50s. This is OG, original gangster, old school technology that we're dealing with that's only ever being refined, right? So the aspect of utilizing these types of craft, whether it's our nuts and bolts or whichever way you lean, or their nuts and bolts, are different aspects of reverse engineering to where we have similar nuts and bolts technology from both belligerents out there operating in this realm. It is, yes, and it's not an either or, it's a both and. The answer is always a both and, it's not either or. And it is absolutely going to be central to the Great Deception. I mean, we don't have to look far to look at Sanskrit, right, to look at the Vimanas, to look at the Nazi Bell, to look at, different ancient texts, to look at Roman legions, legionnaires talking about having to fight battles against aerial craft and blah, blah, blah. Like, yes, and it's coming. And again, a great deception. And that'll just be one component to solidify the narrative for a global collective consciousness, ritualistic traumatic abuse. That's what it's all centered on.
Jamie, sometimes I think we have the same genetics, and that's because you stole everything. I just wanted to say I should have gone first, and not you. The Germans, the TB, the Mercury Vortex engine that was quickly taken off the scene. What happened when Nikola Tesla died? The FBI went in there and took all of his papers. you know, we see this over and over and over again where this technology is being censored from the American people. They're taking it and doing their black op projects with it. Even aliens. I have an article here that they just created an embryo from non-human sources. So, I mean, you mix all those together. Let's just say we're planning a deception. You mix the ability to create, if you're creating embryos from non-human sources, we don't know what they can create, but they create some kind of non-human entity looking thing, which I suspect they already have. You add the technology that you just spoke about. We know that Nikola Tesla was probably the smartest man who ever lived. He had technology far beyond his years. And you look at the Germans, how they, in 20 to 40 years, they absolutely transformed the world with technology. You know, they were the first in everything. Wernher von Braun, that's why he went to the moon, because the technology that we got from the Germans, the Mercury vortex engine, you take all that, which was basically 1940s, 1950s technology, and then you add 70 years to it, which we have now, of advancement in that technology that's been hidden from the American people, and you're saving it for a moment, a time and space when you're going to reveal it, but you'll reveal it with deception. You're going to say this is alien technology, but it's technology that was given to us by the Watchers, given to us by fallen angels, because I can only imagine, you know, if the most brilliant among us has a 200 IQ, and when you imagine what the fallen angels' IQ is into the thousands, you know, they have ways and means of doing things that we can't even conceptualize. So we've been given this little bit of technology to defy what looks like the laws of physics, making right angle turns 10,000 miles an hour. No visible means of propulsion, creating human or creating life, Frankenstein life from non-human origin. You mix all that together. Just think all that together, and you've kept it under wraps to that moment in time when Antichrist makes his appearance, and all those signs and wonders of just extraterrestrials coming down from heaven, the transhumanism offering you godhood, all of that put together in one package. And like I said, the saddest thing I think the world is going to see is billions of people accepting it.
And again, this is all part of the deception that is being driven by the governments of the world. As Josh and I wrote in our book back in 2017, the intelligence community here in the United States and around the world has controlled this narrative for at least the last 75 years. Jamie mentioned Dulles, New Mexico. For people not familiar, there's a widespread belief that there is a deep underground military base there that is co-operated by humans and extraterrestrials. This is taken as an article of faith by members of the UFO community, none of whom have ever seen it because, and I'm taking a contrarian view here, we wrote about this in our book, that it is part of this PSYOP. In fact, it was directed originally at a physicist by the name of Paul Benowitz, who was based in New Mexico. He was a contractor for the United States military, and he began to take notice of activity at Kirtland Air Force Base. And this just happens to be where the United States government has some of its nuclear weapons. And so to redirect the attention of Paul Benowitz away from Kirtland Air Force Base and things that the U.S. government, the U.S. military didn't want the Russians, the Chinese to know, it began feeding him through an agent working for the Air Force Office of Special Investigations information to confirm his belief that, yes, the government of the United States is in contact with extraterrestrials and direct his attention toward Dulles, New Mexico. But as the secular researcher Jacques Vallée pointed out in his book about his experiences, his research into the UFO phenomenon, in a conversation that he had with Linda Moulton Howe, well-known researcher, and she is one of the leading reporters whenever you see reports coming out about cattle mutilations and so forth, and Bill Moore. Bill Moore was the co-author of the book The Roswell Incident, which really put Roswell on the map for the 1947 Roswell crash. He asked them a simple question about Dulles, New Mexico: who takes out the trash? And they were like puzzled. What do you mean? He said, well, you're telling me there's a city the size, an underground city the size of Manhattan under the desert in New Mexico. You would be able to see the activity somehow, somewhere, somebody taking out the trash, water, being brought into the facility, there would be a heat signature visible from commercial grade satellites in space. And there is none of that there. So where is this? And yet this is a widely held belief in the UFO community. And just one example of the success of this sort of gaslighting that is taking place under the direction of the intelligence communities, not just here in the U.S., but Russia, China. I'm sure the militaries of the world find this a convenient way of redirecting attention away from projects that they don't want people to know too much about. Now, the question is, what do we as Christians do about this when the big deception, when this piece of a craft found from 1947 or 1948, and Jamie, I actually was aware of the Aztec crash. I interviewed Frank Thayer, who co-wrote a book about the Aztec crash a couple of times on my podcast. What do we as Christians do about this? The proper understanding of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, is key to understanding this. This does not mean that God is a humanoid biped about 6 feet tall. What this means is we are created as God's image bearers, his moral agents on this earth. That's what that phrase means. So if a craft created by whoever is released and said, look, we recovered this from the crash site at Rendlesham or at Aztec or Roswell or wherever, or if by some chance extraterrestrials actually do exist and a craft lands on the White House lawn and somebody comes out and says, you know, Klaatu Barada Nikto, we as Christians would say, look, this does not change the fact that here on earth, we are God's image bearers. We are his imagers. And so my faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is not shaken. It is not moved one millicron, not one iota. And that is what we need to focus on, because the media, the corporate media, is going to do what it always does, which is parrot the official line. And the official narrative has been moving in this direction, especially since 2017, try to convince the world that extraterrestrial life exists. We as Christians need to say, doesn't matter. Don't care. It actually would be kind of cool, but it does not change the fact that we are created in God's image, his image bearers on this earth.
Derek, I have a question for you. You mentioned Dulce and the Dulce Wars. What do you make of Phil Schneider's testimony and his subsequent death that everyone believes at this point in time was obviously a murder? I don't know what to make of it. I don't believe everything I'm told, but you cannot go and prove anything that he said, except for the fact that after he said it, he was killed, and he said he was going to be killed for saying it. So what do you make of that? Because that testimony alone is a huge driving factor for the younger generation right now.
Right. You need to corroborate something. You just need to corroborate something. And that's the thing I keep coming back to. There's been nothing that's been corroborated by an independent outside witness as to the existence of that base. When it comes to the existence of extraterrestrials, we've got all kinds of testimony from contactees who say that they've been hearing messages from entities who ostensibly want to help us, you know, keep us from killing ourselves through nuclear holocaust. And yet they're not actually doing it. My question is this: if they've got the technology to cross the distance between the stars, which is just an unimaginable expense of energy. I mean, set aside science fiction, and I love science fiction. I love me a good space opera, but the fact is the energy required to cross the distance between stars is almost incalculable. The odds of somebody actually coming up with that kind of technology is virtually nil. Gary Bates of Creation Ministries International has done a really good documentary on this, which featured friends of ours like Joe Jordan of CE4 Research Ministries, CE4, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, who showed really through his ministry and his work that the abductee contactee phenomenon, which should be separate from the UFO UAP phenomenon, two separate things, that it is a spiritual contact and that it can be stopped in the name of Jesus Christ, which would make no sense. We're dealing with physical entities from Zeta Reticuli. If you're dealing with demons, well, yeah, calling on the name of Jesus Christ obviously would have a powerful effect. If these entities had the technology to cross the distance between stars, why can't they work a webcam? Why is all of this contact through spiritual means? Why is it all telepathy? It's because it's spiritual. It's not physical. It is a spiritual war. And coming back to Phil Schneider, he may have believed what he was saying, but unless and until somebody can, you know, answer the question posed by Jacques Vallée to Bill Moore and Linda Moulton Howe, who takes out the trash, I've got to be very skeptical.
Yeah, I Jamie knows this. You go to Washington, D.C., there's an entire city under Washington, D.C., but you will never be allowed there, ever. During every presidential inauguration, we have teams who go down the tunnels, and their whole job is to search for explosives with canine teams. It's actually a super fun job. But that takes an entire army to keep that going, and everybody knows it. It's a joke. You know, everybody knows it. So if we can't keep that hidden for where we take the president, I just don't understand how we can keep something as almost reference to the Pentagon underground, and there's no heat signatures, there's no intake outtake pipes. Where are you getting your air from? You know, all these things to me are they're unanswered questions that need to be answered. They won't be answered. They'll be filled with conjecture, and it just fuels the deception. And we humans are deceptive creatures. We love us a good deception, a good space opera, right? We love it. We love to be told stories. The problem is that once you start to go down this rabbit hole, I call it the Alice falling down the rabbit hole effect. When Alice falls down the rabbit hole effect goes deep and dark enough, you keep growing further and further away from the light of the cross. And you don't search for that anymore. You keep searching for the next unknown truth. Jamie's talked about this many times, searching for the next unknown thing. You know, it's a dopamine effect is what we're chasing. So thank you for that, Derek. Dave, what is your thought process on this? If aliens land on the lawn of the White House, what do you expect as a psychologist? What would you expect the American people or the people of the world to go into a psychotic episode? Do you think it would be like Independence Day, where they're going to go up on the top of the tower and welcome the giant laser beam coming down at them? What do you see with this?
Well, they're of the Vegas tribe of aliens, and they're over 7 feet tall. I'll recruit them for my basketball team. And that's the seriousness I give to this. Seriously, guys. I mean, if they have the technology to come here and traverse gravity and do right angle turns at 10,000 miles an hour and all that stuff, they can truly do that. They could neutralize every defense system we have on the Earth. They could bend us to their will instantly. This just makes no sense. This is about enslaving and capturing God's prize creation. And this is why, you know, you just apply a little bit of logic here. And I want to just give you an example, too, because I think aliens, I think the German scientists and what my dad learned and what Vance Davis learned, I think a lot of this technology has been transmitted through demonic forces. I think all of it has been, really. And I don't think it's changed. I think Tesla was probably the recipient of this as well. But there's something we call, you know, cultural technological lack. And I'll give you an example of this. The internet was fully developed to be an alternative communication system in the event of a nuclear attack. 1966 is when I learned it was operational. The internet didn't come into play for most of humanity until 1996. Microwave ovens, microwave technology, 1940s, comes in the 1970s. TV and radio, okay, 1929. Oh, radio, but TV, I should say, doesn't come into the mainstream until the 50s. There's technology well beyond what we're aware of. I think it's demonically inspired. I think when we jump over normal societal and civilization development, when you use sociological models, we took an unnatural leap in 1947 after Roswell. I mean, night vision, computers, going to the moon. We took an unnatural leap, and I think that does come from aliens, and I think that was them gaining the foothold. And don't you find it interesting that satanic Nazis, and they were satanic Nazis, all should have been locked away, but some of them allowed to escape. And what did we do with one of them? What did we do with a war criminal that sent 1- and 2-stage rockets to London and killed children and old people? What did we do with that guy, Wernher von Braun? We put him in charge of NASA. What kind of sense does that make? You want to talk about a satanic influence inside of our government? You don't need to go any further than that. And then, of course, if you want to deal with Satan, just look at Hillary Clinton. And what was she fascinated with? I got a picture of her. Her and Lawrence Rockefeller in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, walking down a path, carrying a copy of a book about UFOs and aliens. This is demonic. But I do believe we possess great technology that's been passed along to humanity for this. And I think we've all said it well. This is the great deception. But the one thing I want people to be mindful of as they watch this broadcast, it is true that we outnumber them, but numerical superiority here I don't think really matters unless that numerical superiority were Christian. The other side really holds the technological edge. So do I think we can compete with them on that level? No, but they can't compete with us on the spiritual level. And the book of Matthew is very clear. You know, you put your faith and abide by Jesus, and he will not depart from you. And I think this is what we need to be mindful of. So no matter how this threat manifests itself, you know, bring us to the edge of war, humanity facing extinction, whatever it will be. And actually, I have a theory about this, guys, and I'm wondering what you think about this. You know, the Antichrist ushered in because he's the peacemaker of the time against a perceived major threat? What if that threat was destruction of the planet? What if that threat was nuclear war? What if that threat was the most virulent pandemic we'd ever seen? I'm wondering if this isn't just part of the setup for the ushering in of the Antichrist and what will be 3.5 years of relative bliss followed by 3.5 years of hell on earth.
Well, I think it's one of many events that are on the table, Dave, because this goes right into the next question. Let's talk about the potentiality of World War III. We were going to discuss nations rising against nation, kingdoms versus kingdom, wars and rumors of wars. And I don't want this to be dominated by the alien discussion, but it is dominating the headlines. Could a kingdom be the alien opponent? Could a nation that was coming to rise against another nation be the Atlanteans returning, or, you know, the pyramids coming back from Zeta Reticuli, as Derek said? You know, there's quite a thesis to write about on this, but let's hear it from you guys. Nation rising against nation, kingdom versus kingdom, wars and rumors of wars. And let's try and get this over in about 10, 15 minutes. Where do you guys see that we're at on the nuclear timetable, Dave, that you and I were talking about the other day? Are we 5 minutes to midnight for World War III?
Yeah, I'll kind of jump in there on that one. You know, that's something like the Apophis and the impending World War III seem to be like just what I'm drawn in to really do deep dives on. And, you know, as far as your initial statement, you know, just to throw it out there, not to have it, you know, dominate the conversation, but it is intriguing speculation. But, you know, I've heard some great thinkers out there mention that the purpose of the Great Deception or the role of the Great Deception will be, as you're saying, an ethnos against ethnos, but on an extraterrestrial or counterfeit, you know, deceptive extraterrestrial level, as in the Greys, little nasty, you know, Ophidian reptilian type things, tormenting the people. They kind of use justification for this out of the, you know, Apollyon or Abaddon, loosing things out of the bottomless pit, these transgenic things. And then it will be the Nordics, right? The blonde haired, blue eyed Ubermensch, that the occultics and the adepts have been trying to resurrect and worship, from the beginning of time, really time immemorial, especially with the rollout of Genesis 6. That would be the war to bring about the Great Deception. Is the Greys come, they're tormenting humanity, blah, 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 right? All this freak show stuff going on. And then the return of the golden age of the gods is they come and actually obliterate the Greys, and they bring in a counterfeit utopic millennial reign without Jesus, right? So I have heard that. But now back to the more empirical objective stuff is the you know, I mentioned it earlier about the inevitability of World War III. So there's, you know, there's always that distinction between inevitability and imminency. So what I believe, in answer to your question, with this 5 minutes to midnight with the nuclear exchanges, I say not 5 minutes to midnight. I say we're about 27 seconds to midnight with regards to that, that although the inevitability has always been in place, and more so in particular in the last, you know, 3 years, the imminency of it is now coming into the field of view as well, too. There's different aspects between NATO, you know, the East versus West paradigm, you know, even things that are what are going on with ECOWAS in Africa. And there's Wagner Group playing in the tit for tat East versus West going on the African continent. Also in the Middle East, right, with this pivot and this repudiation of the petrodollar, this pivot towards the BRICS nation, which is going gangbusters right now, even the rollout of a new BRICS currency, actual minted currency, which will then go into, again, the central bank digital currency. You have Yemen and Oman and the Houthi and the Tutsi and those aspects. And you have the Horn of Africa with Eritrea, Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan. You have the Middle Eastern contingent with the Iran component, along with Hamas and Hezbollah and their different proxy states warring there. You have Japan on a war footing with the missiles constantly coming over from North Korea. You have South Korea putting 51 million of its citizens in underground bunkers for a civil defense drill for an imminent nuclear attack. You have Kim Jong-un and his sister, I can't even remember his name, talking about the imminency of a nuclear exchange. And then obviously you have all the Russian pundits talking about the imminency of the nuclear exchange. And then that gets into even the China-US contingent with the, you know, recent spy balloons and the cyber warfare attacks that are going on, the Chinese generals with their 10,000-foot runway purchasing 200 square miles of land in Texas, and on and on and on it goes, right? And then the asymmetric warfare of all of our elected officials, all, it's a very definitive statement, being bought and paid for by the CCP. This is real. This is empirical. This is objective. This is measurable. And it's going on in real time. And the U.S. and the global controllers are not going to stop until they get their limited, very particular language here, limited nuclear exchange with the East. They will not stop because it has been agreed upon. It's a foregone conclusion. And it is the necessary, most immediate, imminent step for their great reset. It must occur in order to achieve the great reset. And all these other things that we've been discussing for the last 2 hours, then all of a sudden come right out into the light to be seen visibly and be implemented the way they need them to. So the, you know, I could get into all the metadata of the nuances of what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, and then from there outward in the whys and the blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is that it's done. It's a done deal. So, you know, it's like World War I and World War II. They didn't call them World War I and World War II till after the fact. Is there, you know, it's like, is everybody checking on that? They did not discern that it was World War I and World War II. So after the fact, that's the historical pundits, how they're able to coin this. But all the infrastructure and all the tit for tat musings leading up to even being able to understand the depths of what was happening is where we're at right now. World War III is in play, it is in process, it is active, and it is actually kinetic. So all the asymmetric psyop, blah, 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 right? All the softening stuff, all that's been being done for decades, all the economic warfare and all that other type of asymmetry. But right now it is actually in its kinetic phase. And the American populace is so blind, deaf, and dumb that they don't understand what comes next. Now the Europeans have a very different historical consciousness that they are very well aware of what comes next, which hey, is Jamie, why all the positioning and all the posturing is the way it is.
Hey, we're limited on time. I'm going to have to move to someone else real quick. Derek, would you like to take a shot at this, the World War III?
Yeah, I think that we are, again, historians will look back on this phase of history as the early stages of World War III. Jamie was right. People didn't call it World War I or World War II until after the fact. People don't remember that World War I began in 1914, or World War II really began with Japan's invasion of Manchuria in 1931. I think they may look back on this period of history and say it really began around 2014 with the Maidan Revolution, which was backed by the United States in Ukraine, pushing out the pro-Russian president there, Yanukovych, for the U.S.-backed candidate. But I think in a broader sense, the as Jamie said, ethnos versus ethnos is also a key aspect of this. And we're seeing this here in the United States. If we've got tribe versus tribe, ethnicity versus ethnicity, and that tension has been stoked by ideologues and like Al Sharpton and others on, and this is you know, on both sides of the aisle, wanting to keep us fighting with one another rather than coming together, so that can keep us divided. It may in fact be the reason that the United States does not play an obvious role in end times Bible prophecy. But I think the bottom line is that the principalities and powers behind the scenes, who again are our true enemy, want us fighting with one another for the very simple reason that military commanders since time immemorial have known that the easiest way is to defeat an enemy is to make sure your enemy is internally divided before you attack.
Bob, you want to take a swing at this?
Yeah, you know, in James it says, where do wars come from? It says it comes from our greed. You know, even in our churches today, we have this thing called the prosperity gospel that's based on greed. And you look, if you ever read the book, The Economic Hitman, you know, the wars that we fought for freedom, it's based on greed, that we can take from other people that which does not belong to us. It's one of the commandments, thou shalt not covet. But the world, we worship covetousness today. And when you worship something that God does not sanction, trouble only leads to that. That's all you're going to have is trouble. So we see today, I mean, the Russian oligarchs, they've exploited Russia. We want to defeat Russia so we can exploit their assets. We want to defeat these people so we can exploit their assets. This is what the world is comprised of today. So that's the first thing, is that we have this dynamic of greed going on globally. The second thing is, use it or lose it. Because of this technological explosion that we've spent the last 2 hours or so discussing, we are afraid today that China just announced they have this continuous burn laser. You know, we have this exploding technology that we're afraid that one side's going to gain mastery over the other side. We have the ability to break codes. We know what the other side's doing. And so that's just another dynamic that is pushing the world towards this moment. You know, Jamie, you're right. 27 seconds, if that, 2.7 seconds. And, you know, so we have this unique period in time where greed can be exploited and expressed globally, where technology is exploited and expressed globally. And then on top of that, there's the spiritual aspect to it. You want to talk about a war? What happens when the angels at the Euphrates River are replaced? Immediately, a quarter or a third, what is it, a third or a quarter of humanity is killed by them. So we are headed towards this like never before. And the elements driving it have never been elements like this before. I mean, you know, 100 years ago, we couldn't express this threat globally like we can today. So it's there, and it's very, very dangerous right now. I mean, they're talking about, we're going to launch nuclear weapons. This hasn't been talked about since the 60s. We're talking about releasing pathogens that have the ability to kill every human being, releasing chemical agents. It's everything that's used to destroy has reached its zenith. And each side is threatening the other side to use it, with technology blooming. Oh, my gosh. You talk about giving a kid matches to play with in a room full of gasoline. That's what humanity has at their possession right now. We are in a room full of gasoline, and we've been giving the most immature people that are in charge of things packs of matches, and they're throwing them at each other.
Dave, you're muted.
Okay. I know a lot of people would like to be able to do that remotely. Anyway, I can't add a lot to what you've already said. First of all, I think the audience can see why all these gentlemen here make such a great contribution to my show when they come on. And you see why I like to have them on often. But I can't add to what you said about the Great Deception. I think we have covered that thoroughly. I think anyone who's mindful and prayerfully listening is equipped to recognize it now when it happens, if they weren't prior to. But I kind of wait for the Weather Channel to, you know, I say, let your hearts not be troubled. You know, tonight's forecast is dark, but it's going to turn to widely scattered light in the morning. And eventually the second coming will happen and it will be total light and bliss if you make the right choice. And here's the thing I would like to leave the audience with. You're not going to escape conflict. All right. Some people want to bury their head in the sand right now. I mean, the awareness in this country is at an all-time high about the evil corruption that dominates our government and how they exploit the people and don't give a crap about us. People know, but they're hoping they can bury their heads under the covers, hide under the kitchen table, and it'll somehow pass over them. Interesting choice of words, but they think that they can escape it, and you can't. If you give in to the evil ones, you're going to be in conflict with Jesus on Judgment Day, right? If you give in to Jesus and follow, as we hope you all do, then you're going to be in conflict in this world. But the thing is, this conflict in this world has a shelf life. It's not going to last very long. Jesus is forever. And I think the choice is very, very simple to make. And gentlemen, I want to thank you for including me in this conversation. I'm honored to have been presenting with you here. Thanks, Mike and Doug, for doing this.
Hey, gentlemen, this has been a riveting conversation. I know Mike would like to end with a question for all of us. But real quick, I would like to say this, because we didn't get to cover this topic yet. And we will do more of these. We'll make sure we get into the topic of the sin nature of America. But I think I can speak for everyone when I say this, that the time is growing short. If you do not know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. The greatest deception that Satan has ever convinced anyone is that you have till tomorrow to be saved. So, you know, don't believe that. And if you're not saved, now's the time to be saved. So, Mike, I'm going to give it back over to you, brother. Go ahead.
Thank you. And guys, it's been an honor to be with all of you today. In 2005, the Lord asked me to gather his people and feed them. And I was like, what? What do you want to have a barbecue or something? I don't get it. You know, but here the Watchman was born. And today I think we truly fed the people. I would like to ask you one thing, and I'll go around to each of you and just in a short statement, answer what your feelings are to this. The times ahead will require a warrior class believer who is willing to stay focused on God and be led by the Holy Spirit. We can't sit on the fences, as there is a clear distinction before us of good and evil. Derek, what would you say to that?
I'd say absolutely. We need to be prepared to show the love of Jesus Christ, even to those who are taking his name in vain, those who may not like us because of what we stand for, what we believe, because the time is running short for them as well. So while we have the opportunity to show love to those around us, those who may not look or believe or act the way we do, I think we need to take advantage of those opportunities.
Thank you. Jamie?
Yeah, you know, there's nothing short of an unmitigated understanding of who you are in Christ and who he is in you that's going to suffice for the days ahead. There's no amount of information, of intel, eschatology, physical preparedness. I'm not saying don't be physically prepared. Don't be knowledgeable about these things. But for the cause of Christ, forsake it all and dwell and hide and abide in the shelter of the Most High and have a knowing of the understanding of the sufficiency of his death. And more importantly, the resurrection, the fact that the tomb is empty is what everything's centered on. You know, so I couldn't challenge people enough to just grow in an understanding of who you are in Christ and who he is in you. It's the only thing that's going to stand the test of time.
Thank you. Bob?
You know, the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, I think as Bonhoeffer said, you know, if we're silent in the face of evil, it's evil itself. If we don't do anything in the face of it, we're participating in it. This is the time for men of God and women of God to stand up and be bold in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to shrink back. We don't want our souls to shrink back to perdition. We want to stand before the King, and one day every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What are those words worth to you versus maybe something a little bit more, you know, fearful? Depart from me. You know, the Bible says cowards do not make it into the kingdom. So you have a choice here. Will you be bold? Will you express the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost world? Or will you, for the sake of reputation, for the sake of monitor your job, whatever, will you remain silent? God is calling forth a remnant of people right now who are not afraid. They're not the best looking. They're not the smartest. They don't have to be anything. All they have to do is use this thing and preach the gospel. Tell people about the love of God. Tell them about the second advent. Tell them about the millennium. Tell them about the joys that Jesus promises those who will find themselves in the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, very well said. Let me just say this. I get a lot of people, well-meaning people that show their concern for me, that write comments on my YouTube page, on my website, and they say, "Dave, I'm praying for your well-being. I appreciate the courage, blah, 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 blah." I appreciate that. The prayers are really welcome because we can't get too many prayers of protection. But honestly, I've kind of taken the attitude that I'll be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'll do it when I'm supposed to do it, according to the master plan. And we can make a decision here. What's coming is outwardly, undeniably frightening. And people, my fear for them is that they'll be governed by fear, and they'll let fear dominate their life. When really, if you have Jesus in your life, then you're ruled by faith. No matter how big the obstacle that comes, the faith is that we will overcome and persevere, and final victory will be ours. And if I could give a gift to the world, I would just say, find Jesus, find the faith and the security that goes with it, and then you can enjoy the life that you have, you know, within the constraints you're living in.
Thank you, Dave. Doug.
Here's my advice. And I come from a very different aspect from most people. Jamie and I have a similar background. But I come from the warrior's mindset, because that's all I've ever known. And God has raised me up into now kind of a preaching mindset, which is totally antithetical to the way I was raised. But from what I've learned is to be kind for the times that are coming. Be kind to your enemy, because it's like lumping hot coals upon their head. When Jesus says that when your enemy comes to you thirsty, give them water. They're hungry, give them food. If they're naked, clothe them, as we did him when he came. But he also says, carry a sword. So what I would tell people is that the best thing you can do is to plant your feet in your faith and not take one step back. No backwards step. And this is my little saying, and it's kind of my sign off, but I believe in raising up the warrior priest. I believe in bringing the men of God back to God. We need to create a shield wall of faith. We need to create a phalanx of faith of all brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't care where you fit in. Are you the guy with the sling? Are you the guy with the bow, with the axe, with the shield, with the sword? Find your place in the shield wall, and I'll see you there. Jesus already won the fight. Just show up. That's all you got to do. I'll see you in the phalanx of faith, guys. Thank you very much for this panel. God bless all you guys. This has been a wonderful conversation. I pray that we get to continue to go forward with these conversations. But ladies and gentlemen, the time is coming where we may not be doing this. So it is up to you to get out and do this in your own community, in your church. Have these conversations. Don't be quiet and sitting on your hands in the pews. Get out there and express the good word of God. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Remember, everybody, the battle is out there, not on your couch. We'll see you next time.
stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.